Let's open our Bibles, as we do, to John 3:16. I want to start here this evening. I've entitled this lesson this evening, Help from Within. That's where our help comes from. And, you know, those that are born again, those that are new creatures in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. You are a new creature, and the Holy Spirit has taken up a residence within you, and that's where your help comes from. Where your guidance comes from. Yes, it comes from the Word of God, but the Spirit of God and the Word of God work together. They're one. And so, He will guide us into what? All truth. John 3:16, let's read together. I love reading this because the more you read it, not only does more light come, but light and revelation and change, I would say it this way. You know, somebody said, well, I read that and I understand that, but there's one thing about knowing it and kind of grasping it. But how many of us know the more we read something, the more we meditate upon something, the more we think about it, more understanding, more light comes, or we could say another way, more development comes. So you may think, well, I'm walking in love to the best that you know how, to the best that you understand, the best that you can. But you may get some light in an area and go, whew. I need to step it up here. I need to walk further, deeper, expand. Why? Because there's further development, because now all of a sudden the Holy Spirit has revealed a little differently to you based on your growth, where you are. So we can never exhaust reading this, because the more we read it, He will do what? He's going to lead us. What does it say? I forget the exact scripture where it's, I believe it's in Psalms, where we walk in the path of the light until the full light of day. Isn't that what it says? And so we are ever learning, ever growing, ever having the Word of God revealed. And so we'll never exhaust this. Let's read it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, you hear in the news, they say this group or this group has a what? An agenda. Well, so do we. I got an agenda. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm going to preach the Word. That's my agenda. Right? You know, you hear you say, you know, this group's got an agenda, or this group's got, they got an agenda. Right? I got an agenda to reach everybody. So because some groups, they got an agenda, they only want to reach out to one group or another. Right? We got an agenda, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. Amen. That's our agenda. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Glory to God. And I like reading this scripture verse, the entrance, Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. So tonight we're going to get some more light. Or the revelation of your words brings light. Hallelujah. Well, let's open up. I want to touch this again. We haven't read this for a few lessons, but let's go back to Romans chapter 8. I want to touch on 3 points this evening. We'll start here again. Your help comes from within. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verses 14, 15, and 16, Romans chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit itself, this is the King James, the modern translation say himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So you can see here, who does the Spirit of God bear witness with what? Our spirit. So what is that saying? We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. So he bears witness with our spirit. And I like, we didn't read this, I'll just read this. Proverbs in verse 20. And 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Or it says, the lamp of the Lord. Some translations say the Lord's searchlight. I like that. Penetrates the human spirit. So he is what? He's a witness, or you could say a co-witness with my spirit. Amen. Everybody there tonight. And in verse 14, I'm going to read Romans 8:14 in the New Century Version. It says, the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. So you have to let God lead you. That means there's a choice. And part of the leading, what does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. So where are we led? We're led from the inside, not from our soulish realm. Although I will say this, that understanding, enlightenment, revelation comes here, but it affects your soul, does it not? Because what does the word say? It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when revelation comes and we receive light on the inside, it affects and transforms our soulish, our mind. So it has an impact on the mind. And so it just, when this mind gets renewed, it makes it real easy to be led by the Spirit of God. Because we're not leaning to our understanding. We're yielding to Him. Let me read this. I'm going to read verse 16 again. This is the complete Jewish Bible. It says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our own spirits that we are the children of God. I like this. This is the Phillips translation. It says, the Spirit Himself endorses our inward conviction. See, we can have an inward conviction, but a co-witness does what? They endorse it. They say, yep, that's right. Yep. Or no. No. Not right. Not good. Don't go there. Don't touch that. So he endorses our inward conviction. And in this, again, we're talking about here that we are the children of God. He bears witness that I'm saved. I'm a child of God. Amen. In the Amplified, it says, the Spirit Himself testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are the children of God. And the Living Bible says, His Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us, in this case, that we really are the children of God. When you have that, you have a co-witness, you have what? An assurance. That's what this translation says. The easy to read says, the Spirit Himself speaks to our spirits and makes us sure. See, I like this. When there's an inward witness, and it's God, there's an assurance, there's a knowing, there's an... we know it's a revelation, but there's a conviction that it's Him. It's just the Spirit of God. And I will say that, what did we say before? The Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. He reveals these things. Where is He revealing this? In your spirit. He's not revealing it in your mind, and He's not revealing it in your body, is it? He's revealing it in your spirit, man. And so the three things, well, let me look at one scripture again here, another, Romans chapter 9. Let's look at this verse again. He communicates with, or he's in our spirit and communicates with us through our spirit. Hallelujah. Thank God. We don't have to bump through life here. He's given us a helper and a guide. Romans chapter 9 and verse 1. King James, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. And this is the New Living Translation. In the presence of Christ, I speak with utter truthfulness. I do not lie. And my spirit, or conscience, my conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm. This is a co-witness that what I am saying is true. This is the Weymouth Translation. Says, I am telling you the truth as a Christian man. It is no falsehood, for my conscience, enlightened as it is by the Holy Spirit, adds its testimony to mine. So He is bearing witness with my spirit. He's a co-witness. It's the Good News Translation. It says, my conscience ruled by the Holy Spirit also assures me. I like that. The Amplified says, my conscience enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit. So you can see here, He's the one that enlightens, He's the one that assures, He's the one that endorses my choices. He bears witness with the choices that I'm about to make. Things that I'm about to do, there's three different ways, and we want to touch on these again tonight. Some of the one that we've been focusing on for these number of weeks is talking about the inward witness. Now, these three things all come from within, but there are three different ways that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. And one we've been focusing on. And it is the primary way. This is what Jesus said to Brother Hagin in the vision in Texas. He said, the primary way that I lead my children is through the inward witness. Not the only way, but it is the primary way. And we need to, and as we saw this in Scripture here, we just read this. And my spirit, again, as it says, we're enlightened and led by the Spirit of God. Now, the other way, and this is the second way, is through the inward, still, small voice. And how many have experienced that? In other words, we know in Scripture, we can jump over here. We'll look at this particular Scripture in John. You can look at John chapter 10. looking at verse 1, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Now, when we talk about being led by the inward, still small voice, the reason I read Romans chapter 9, because that still small voice is your spirit speaking. And so it says here, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." So when you hear in your heart, you hear down here a still small voice, that's your own conscience speaking. Your own spirit is speaking. But it is picking up and hearing what the Holy Ghost is saying. But it is your spirit that's speaking. That still small voice is your spirit speaking. We're being led by the Spirit of God. He is speaking, or your spirit is picking up what the Holy Spirit is saying. And the still small voice is your spirit speaking. You know, how many of us, I know we've experienced this, I have, and I'm sure you have. Mankind is a spirit, they just don't know it. Man is made in the image and likeness of God, is he not? So they are a spirit, but it's a darkened spirit, influenced by the devil and darkness. But their spirit will still speak to them. It just will not give them the right kind of guidance. That's the problem. How many of us have had, we've heard things in our spirit. We said, "Well, something told me." See, before we were born again, I did. Sometimes it was the wrong thing. You see. But the spirit, the conscience of man is still speaking to them. Just the wrong thing sometimes. And you can still see, even where mankind is concerned, you can see philanthropists and people that do good things in this earth. It's not all bad things that people do. There are some good things that they do. And there, I'm sure, they get thoughts and things that come from their heart to do things. See, they're just not connected to God through Christ. So the point here is that this second way is we can be and are led by the still small voice. Is that not true? It's not the primary way. The primary way is the inward witness. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to go with him. And in your day-to-day walk, day-to-day choices that you have to make, the primary way he will lead you is the inward witness. This inner knowing, an inner unsettling, an inner peace. You'll have that more often than the still small voice. Not that he doesn't speak that way. Because if a person is always listening for voices, the devil can accommodate you. And so one of the things that we need to be conscious of the fact is that if you get something and you hear something, you need to check it against the Word of God. That is your rock bottom. You hear something, you say, well, the Holy Ghost told me this. Okay, check it in the Word. Check it through in the Word of God. That is forever settled in heaven. And so, and that also is the same, I would say, even with the inward witness. If you get something that's feels right to do, and you say, well, this feels right, okay, and it's something that's not in the Word of God, that wasn't him. So again, point being here, number one way we're led is the inward witness. The second way is an inward still small voice, and that is our conscience speaking, or our spirit still small voice, picking up what the Spirit of God is hearing from the Father. Amen. The third way is the voice of the Holy Spirit, and this is a more authoritative way that he speaks, not a still small voice. I've had it once in my life where I was in prayer, I was laying on my bed, you've heard me say this, I was laying on my bed praying, and this was many, many years ago as a young person, laying there, I had my hands on my spirit like this, and I was on my bed praying in the Holy Ghost. And I was there for a while. And then all of a sudden, it began to intensify and intensify and intensify, and I thought I was leaving my body. It was that strong of a presence, the presence of the Lord. And then just instantly, an authoritative voice, I had to look, I thought it was somebody in the room. Booming voice, authoritative voice. And I realized afterwards it was inside, but it sounded like somebody was in the room. That happened once. I don't look for it. I don't seek it. I seek him. And if he decides, I can tell you that after that happened in around 1981, and 25 years later, whenever I realized it, and I've read in Brother Hagin's books that he said when the Lord has spoken that way to him, he said it didn't happen often, but when he did, he said rough waters were ahead. He said that's what he said. And he said it kept him steady in tough times. And I realized that if the Lord had not spoken like he did to me, I'd have quit. I would have, just being honest. When tough times came and I was ready to throw it in, say enough of this, I began to, that word came back to me in my thinking, and I said, no, I can't. He said such and such. I can't quit. Nope. Just, as they say in the vernacular, suck it up and put another foot in front of the other and keep moving. Don't like it, but I'm going to stay. Steady. And I realized after 25 years, all the times that I got into those rough positions where I wanted to quit, that word came. That word came back. And it was the authoritative voice, not a still small voice. I can't tell you why. I can't tell you why he didn't speak in a still small voice. But I know one thing, I'll never forget that authoritative voice. If you experienced it once, you'll know what I'm talking about. So that is another way. And let's just, for reference person. Let's go over to 1 Samuel, and you can see this story. You know the story. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Samuel and Eli. And you can see here this particular setting here. I'm going to read from the New International Version. It says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord," this is starting in verse 1, "before the Lord under Eli. In those days the word of the Lord was rare, there were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call, go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me, my son.' Eli said, 'I did not call, go back and lie down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am. You called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, your servant is listening.' And the Lord said," and began to share with him what he had to say. But that was the authoritative voice of the Lord. That still is today. That hasn't changed. He does speak to us, you know, in a strong voice, not a still small voice. And if you're not sure, you'll know it when it happens. You know, if you think a still small voice is the authoritative voice, no, it's not. You'll know it. And you won't have to ask somebody, you'll know. So those three particular ways, how we led, the inward witness is one way. We're led by the still small voice, which is your conscience speaking. Your spirit is speaking to you. And the Holy Spirit is revealing to your spirit those things. And we're led by the voice of the Holy Spirit. Not your spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit. An authoritative voice. For what purpose? To lead, to guide. So those three ways give us guidance every day. You know, it was interesting today. Pastor Jesse sent me a text. I'm sitting at my desk. He said, "Could you check the offices and see? Pastor Lakeisha may have left her keys there. Could you check, you know, in the offices and see, you know, maybe she left her keys?" So I went in and looked, and I said, "Nope." Text them back, "No, they're not there. I don't see them." And I said, but I'll check and see whoever cleaned the offices, the executive offices. I'll check and see, maybe somebody picked them up. I said, "Okay, thanks." I'm going back to my office, and the thought comes. Now, I could have just kept stepping. I'm studying. I'm just going back. But the thought come, this is what I heard. When I say heard, the thought just come fluttered up right into my mind. "Go pull the cushions out of the couch." And I went, "Okay, let me go pull them." Check one couch, nothing. Go to the next couch, chink. I said, "Oh, there they are. They fell behind the cushion." So there they were. See, so He was thankful. I texted him back. I said, hey, man, I said, I think I found the keys. I called him, actually, and I said, all these things, yeah, those are her keys. Thank you very much. I'm sure they were looking for them and trying to figure out where the heck did I leave my keys. It may have been Pearson pulling the keys out, or somebody jingling them, dropped them on the couch, and they fell, you know, behind the cushion. But the point is that He's leading and guiding in everything that we do. We don't have to spend a lot of time doing things. And sad to say, you know, how many of us, I'm not looking for a show of hands because I'll put mine up, how many of us absolutely follow the Holy Ghost in everything we do? That's, you know, right, that's what I'm looking for, no hands. Because the reality is, every single one of us, we'd like to say that we do, but for whatever reason, we live in this human body, and, you know, sometimes we just think we know. And we're lean to our own understanding. Rather than follow this. Is there peace down here? Meanwhile, your head saying, you know, we're going this way. But your heart may say something else. That needs to be developed. That needs to be nurtured. And of course, we've gone back through a number of lessons. Keeping your heart tender. You know, I like this... from the lessons that I taught a few weeks ago, or a few lessons ago, I think one primary way you keep your heart tender and you keep a living, working communion with the vine, that it becomes easier. You pray in the Holy Spirit and you keep praying in the Spirit. You know I heard somebody say something recently. I think it was Sid Roth. He said he's disciplining himself. See, in order for you to develop in anything, you have to be disciplined. Is that not true? So that means we get busy during the day. We have to discipline ourselves to pray in the Spirit. We have to discipline ourselves to be spiritually minded. Because when you don't, what does it say? It's not going to be life and it's not going to be peace. So we have to spend time during the day as you're working. You know, if that's feasible, you can pray under your breath while you're sitting at your desk. I'll tell you, I worked in offices, even those open cubicles, you can still pray in tongues, under your breath, and quiet. And you keep your spirit stirred up, because then your spirit will know things that your head doesn't know. And you can come up with ideas and plans and things that will astound people. So I'm, you know, as we, you know, wrap this up, we need to spend more time praying in the Spirit. You know, for me, it's a discipline, because we can get calls and you're constantly being pulled on to do something. And when I was working in media, even though I was busy, I could pray in the Spirit and do things. You know, when you're being pulled, it's different. And it's a little different now in my position, because you're being, what do you want? Come over here. Look at this, do this, think about this, and you're being pulled in a lot of various directions. Pick up the phone, talk to this person, do this. You have to discipline yourself to stop and say, wait a minute, I need to pray in the Spirit. Because you can find yourself running, and leaning to your understanding. You understand what I'm saying? See, I don't care who you are. You know, I look at it and say, whether it's me or you, we have to discipline ourselves. If we're going to grow in a particular area, you have to make a choice. I'm going to do this. Whether it's 15 minutes a day, whether it's an hour a day, whether it's during the day, whatever it is, we've got to, in order to develop, you have to do that. And whether you're going to lose weight or whether you're going to get in shape or whether you're going to, you know, go to school, whatever it is, when you make that choice, you say, there's a cost to do that. This is a process, and I'm going to have to do this to get over here. And if I'm going to grow spiritually, then I got to make some choices in order to achieve that. Isn't that right? So, I mean, this is basic stuff. I don't need to be telling you this, but you know that. That in order for us to grow spiritually, we're going to have to discipline ourselves in order to reach. Now, you may say, well, I'm already doing that, okay? In order to grow, you hear Pastor Judy, you hear how much time. You're not around her as much as we are. And we're around her a little bit. People are calling her all the time. Can you help me? I got this problem. She has to make a choice. She has said this. I turn my phone off. There's a voicemail. You can reach me between this time and this time. Other than that, I'm praying or I'm studying. And that's the same thing. We have to make that choice. Somehow in your day, if you're going to grow spiritually, you have to shut yourself off and pray. Because it will become very difficult to be led by the Spirit of God if we stay busy all day long. It won't work. You know, God will have to use other people to kind of break into your life and kind of help you along the way. But we have to take time to just shut down and be spiritual and be spiritual minded. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, when we talk about the still small voice, you know, I take time. When I'm getting ready in the morning, it's a quiet time for me. And also at night. But in the morning, there's something special about the morning. It's quiet. There's no noise going on. And I hear his voice much clearer in the morning. For me. The other thing also, you got to remember, you are a spirit being. You have a soul, but what do you live in? You live in a body. And I'll tell you one thing, when your body gets tired, I'm not saying you can't hear them, but this physical body, when it's tired, it becomes a little more difficult. You're just straining to stay awake. But when the body is rested and fresh, you're clear, aren't you? You know, when we used to have choir rehearsal, some of us, you remember. I know you remember. We come dragging in here Thursday night. Pastor Clinton would do his best to train us. And man, he'd be some nights frustrated. Enough of this. He'd go through every section, and sometimes he'd throw stuff at us, scream at us, whatever he'd do, but he was trying to get whatever ounce of energy out of us to sing. And he could. And people would be dragging in here from the city, hadn't eaten all day or whatever it was, snacking, and then he wants you to run, you know. Exercise, push, give me some air. And we're like, you know, you're trying to do everything you could. But come Sunday morning, everybody had a full Saturday to rest. They come in there, rested Sunday morning. He went ding, and everybody's like, bah! And he's like, all of this stuff, people singing off key and all of that, they're right on it. Isn't that the truth? We did that almost every Thursday, every Sunday. And I noticed, I said, you know what? Your physical body, when it gets tired, the same things apply. Sometimes you just want to lay down. And the Holy Ghost got to have a big booming loud, hello! So I find when I'm rested, I hear him very clearly. So that's why it's important not to run yourself tired. These are practical things. Not run yourself to the place where you're running all day and you just want to flop down. You need time to be rested and hear him. Hear him clearly. Because the decisions that you're going to make, the choices you make every day can be critical. Life-changing choices that we make. And so those are just practical things. So how are we led? Led by the inward witness. We're led by the still small voice, your spirit speaking to you. You know, I'm thinking about this when Pastor Sarah went through her some issues there. It was one after another. And I remember I was laying in bed one morning and I said, Lord, is it her time to go? I was pondering it all night long, just restless, concerned, as you all were. And very clearly, I heard my spirit say, the best days are yet to come for Pastor Sarah, yourself, Pastor Greg, and the Redeeming Love Christian Center. And it gave me such comfort. I got up and had a step in my stride. I said, thank you, Lord. It's not her end. It's the best days are yet to come. And the worst days in the natural came after that. Because that's when she, you know, had some issues. And then 2 years after that, stroke. And, you know, I'm confessing best days are yet to come. I said, sure don't look like it. It was like one thing after another. Then she went through some stuff and didn't want to live. I'm serious. We were crying out to God. Pastor Greg and I crying out, God, she not listen to us. She don't want to listen to us. She told the Hagans, I don't want to live anymore. She talking. I don't want to live. I don't want to live. And she wouldn't listen to us. And we're crying, God, you said best days are yet to come. Sure don't look like it. And who showed up on the scene? Pastor Judy. And it did a 180 in one day. Just like that. But see, he's going to honor his word. That's why I'm saying, if it's all right, I don't care who reaches the person. Somebody reach him. And God's going to honor his word. It's the same thing here. God's going to keep this afloat. He's going to give us the guidance on what to do. He's going to show us how to do it. And he said the people will come, the money will come. He's going to fulfill what he said. And we just have to listen to him, be sensitive to his voice and his witness, and follow him. Didn't say it was going to be easy. Sometimes it's not easy, but it's possible because he said so, right? Amen. I'm through. And, you know, if anybody, I say this, but if anybody has a question, I'll attempt to answer it if you have it. But if all of this has been answered, then praise God. Then we continue to do, continue to grow, continue to worship him, continue to be steady. If you miss it, get up and dust off. Keep moving forward. I think most times, I'll just say it this way, most times the questions that people have, if not all the time, is they'll say, well, I think this was the Holy Spirit. What do you think? Well, I don't know. What did he say to you? Get quiet. First of all, you know, if it's something you can support, or if it's something that's not in the Word of God, you can just throw that and throw it away. If it's obvious in the Word of God. But if it's something that he's giving you direction in life, you'll have a peace about it. You'll have a peace, and you'll know. Isn't it true? Well, if anybody doesn't have a question, I'll close up here and we'll go home. Well, Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for reminding us of what the word says. Thank you for us having the opportunity to meditate upon it, feed upon it, and follow and do. And we thank you, Father, that as we seek you, as we hear your voice, and as we follow, we thank you that you'll lead us into victory every time. We'll overcome every time, because all things are possible to them that believe. And we thank you for it. We give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.